Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott. I've got Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet back here. Hello to you, Robin.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, everyone.
And I've got Tim Schwartz from LifeAfterBlindness.com. Hello to you, sir.
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Robin.
I still don't know why I do that .com the way I do it, but there you go. Emails Andy's here. Emails Andy, do you still have a job? Do we have emails this week?
Oh, we do. We do. Thank you to everyone who's emailed. Oh,
email. Oh, we get there email. We are. Oh.
Yes, I was just reminding people of the email jingle. We can play it this week. I thought you were going to tell me no one had bothered to email in, and I thought, well, that you know, we shouldn't be, you know, surprised.
On the contrary, we're now up to 4 pages. So thank you to everyone who has filled in the inbox again over the last 7 days.
I still love the fact that unit of measurement for emails here is pages. I just think that's brilliant. Is that an 800-point font? Does that mean we've got literally one email with the word "no" in it?
That would be into books, then, wouldn't it? We've got 2 books of emails.
2 books of emails. We've got lots to get into today on the show. We're going to be talking about a great app called What Three Words, which the guys have been trying to explain to me all day, and I just can't get my head around it. Hopefully, Hannah Rowlett will explain it better. I'm sure she will. She's from the Technology for Life team. We're going to get into that, find out about what Three Words app is and why you might want to use it. We're going to get into those emails. Looking forward to that as well. We've also a guest with us this week, guys, on our best behavior this week, because we have a guest with us. So come on, guys, let's be professional for once.
I've polished my shoes.
Oh, that was nice. Yeah.
I'm wearing a tie.
Yeah, I'm actually, can I tell you something, frankly? I'm wearing, and this doesn't sound right, I'm wearing clothes this week for the first time. I mean, I should just be clear on this. I normally do wear clothes when I'm doing this recording, but today I'm wearing like jeans and a t-shirt. I haven't done that. And socks, by the way. I haven't done that in a year. So this is a big day for me.
Wow. We're all smart.
Tim, you're very quiet. What are you wearing?
Stephen, this is going very dark.
Okay, we'll just move on from that then. Right, okay, well, look, before we get into, get chatting with our guest today, let's find out what Robin's got. Robin's got something to tell us, guys.
Yep, I wanted to mention that we have this monthly Accessibility Insights webinar in May. It's been and gone. It was on the 4th of May, but it was with the co-founders of GAAD, G-A-A-D, the Global Accessibility Awareness Day, which is celebrating its 10th anniversary on the 20th of May this month. And so AbilityNet, we're always ahead of the curve. So we got ours out on the 4th. But if you want to hear a really interesting discussion with the two guys, Jennison Asuncion and Joe Devon, who started it all, then please go to the AbilityNet website, abilitynet.org.uk/GAAD-webinar, and you can catch that in the, you know, run up to the day itself on the 20th, you know, just to kind of get into the mood.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll have lots of great content here on RNIB Connect Radio, as well as here on Tech Talk as well. You know what? I mean, I think we're moving towards, and we haven't confirmed this yet, but I think we're going to have in the week leading up, so that will be Tuesday the 18th, Wednesday the 19th, and Thursday the 20th, 3 episodes of Tech Talk going out. I mean, how lucky are you? The reason I say that is because there is a fantastic conversation we're having at the moment around gaming for RNIB. Now, if you don't know about this, go check it out. Just search for RNIB, or just search for gaming for RNIB, I should say, online. A fantastic campaign, which is encouraging people who are into gaming, people who are on Twitch and on YouTube streaming or Facebook streaming or whatever it is, you know, then that is a fantastic place to get the message out about accessible gaming and the challenges that blind and partially sighted people face when playing games. But also on the flip side of that, it's also a great opportunity to tell people that blind and partially sighted people do play games. So, you know, we're encouraging people in the gaming community to use their platform in this way. So, you know, it's really good to know that what that work is being done. We're going to talk lots about it here on a special episode of Tech Talk in the lead up to Global Accessibility Awareness Day. Okay, that's all the housekeeping done. So let's move on and welcome in our guest. Sue Dunn is with us here from the Kirklees Visual Impairment Network. Hello to you, Sue.
Oh, hello, Steve. Hello, guys, as well.
Hiya.
Looking
Hello.
Forward to being on the programme.
Yeah, well, listen, we're so glad to get you here. Now, we spoke to Sam Heaton on the Daily Connect programme a couple of weeks back. And I asked Sam, you know, who in your group might be interested in coming on to the show? Because, you know, I think it'd be really good to get some people on who are talking about tech and not geeky people. This isn't a show for geeks. It never was. It was never built that way. And
I'm out.
See you later, Tim. Thanks a lot. He's just figured this out. Oh, what a
shame. No, it's fine. Just not geeks.
Oh, well, okay, we'll go with that. But no, I just think it's important that we get back to basics on a lot of things. And actually, there's one particular reason that I wanted to get you on, Sue, is because you're using something, which, I mean, certainly is not basic by any level, but it's something we don't talk about a lot, and that is Supernova. Now, interestingly, before we came on, you were talking about the fact you might need to be reconsidering your Supernova versus maybe something else, and we'll get into that. But I just wanted to ask you a bit about Supernova, because last time I saw it, it was in my school. It was the only first and only time I ever got near it. And I've told this story so many times where I had, you know, seen it and I thought it sounded to me and looked like a great product. But when I got into work, I was only ever offered one product, and that was Zoom Text. And that was it. So it was a case of my journey never continued with Supernova because it wasn't made available. I didn't think it was an option to me. But for those people who are thinking, all right, you know what? We know about JAWS. We know about NVDA or Narrator or VoiceOver on the Mac or whatever. I don't necessarily know if I want to go down that route. I maybe want to look at other options. Supernova is an option. Why did you start using it? What do you like about it? Not like about it? What's your thoughts on it?
Well, when I worked as a legal secretary, I'd always managed, as my eyesight was getting worse, I suffer from RP, retinitis pigmentosa. So for years, I managed just to have all my colours made so that I could see the contrast on them. And also, I didn't have voice at all. I had magnification. So I just used to have my resolution just up slightly from everybody else, so I could still see the layout of things. And what happened was, in 2015, we went on to Windows 7, and I found that the templates for all the documents were really tiny, and I was really struggling to read all the text. So what happened, we decided to get the RNIB in to do an assessment. And the lady came along, and she suggested, because I did have quite a lot of sight left, that Supernova was the thing for me. So at first, I wasn't so keen on using the magnification because, as I've said before, often I didn't like things too big, because being able to see what a document looks like as you type in it was important to me. Mm. But it was great because I could click it on and off as I needed it. But I found the voice was brilliant, because as I was typing, going through my template, it would read things to me. And also, what was good about it was that you could point your mouse at things and it would read the text to you as well. So to me, it seemed brilliant, you know, instead of going home really tired with tired eyes, with sort of staring at a screen all the time, I was sort of so much better, you know, felt more in control of things. So when I have a computer at home, I got reliant on using it at work, and I bought exactly the same setup at home. But I must admit, I got a new Windows 10 machine last year, and I do find that it doesn't seem quite as good with the Windows 10. I think the layout, you have to really have it on the first magnification to show the high contrast colours, which Supernova are very good at. I think basically that Windows 10 definitely isn't as good as Windows 7 was for visually impaired people. It doesn't seem as stable. It jumps around a lot.
Really interesting you say that, Sue. That's really interesting, because I must admit, as a screen reader user, I tend to find Windows 10 about a million times better than Windows 7. But that's for a screen reader. I have to say, you know, I was using Windows 10 when my sight was a little bit better. So I'm trying to think, when did Windows 10 actually appear?
5 years ago. I found Windows 7 rock solid with speech, with a screen reader.
Oh, really?
And opposite.
Fair, yeah.
And with Windows 10, a lot of the dialogues and, you know, operating system things, screens that used to speak fine with Windows 7 now became a palaver. You had to virtualize them and kind of work a little bit harder to get to
actually,
them
do you know
work.
What, Robin? Can I just take back what I said? Because actually, you're absolutely right. And I'll tell you why. I'm not giving it the fair crack of the whip, because I wasn't, when I think back of it actually now, I wasn't using a screen reader on it then. I was dabbling in screen readers, but not in the same way I am now, using it all the time. So I suppose my only experience is with Windows 10. So, sorry, I'm being unfair.
I mean, let's hear about the, you know, challenges that you're having at the moment, because magnification, making that transition between relying on magnification and when do you defer to the speech and when do you decide, okay, speech is now going to become my primary way of using this computer. You know, that's a really tough area to explore and to sort
it
of navigate.
Is, yes.
As your vision goes, I've been there.
Well, I can't see photographs anymore. I can see text. So I am a touch typist as well, with sort of all the years of working as a secretary. But I do find that I tend to have the magnification on probably at the first stage, which I think it's about 1.2. And that's just to get the brighter colours. But I've always worked ever since I got Supernova with the voice on all the time. So I find it really reassuring. So I'm not having to constantly staring at the screen all the time. You know, I can sort of, as I'm typing, I can type in words and I'm not having to sort of put my nose in and have a quick look at things. And I just think that the voice has been brilliant, but I have found that it's been a little bit unstable, Supernova. Say when there's a Windows update, it sometimes throws the settings out. And that's when, during lockdown, it's been brilliant to have Marco in from KVIN. He's been able to remote onto my computer, and he's partially sighted, and he's really good with resetting all my settings for me, which has got me going. You know, I can work again, because just silly little things like in Outlook, I clicked on something on the menu, and when I was trying to open an email, I get this tiny little window of the contents of the email, and I clicked on something by mistake. And it's all those things that... that's a Windows 10 thing as well, because you can't see the crosses as easily, and all the things like when menus come up, they're not as compact as they used to be. They say the spell checker, it takes up nearly the whole of the screen, and that's it. It's with me, it's spotting where things are, and it doesn't always talk to you on the menu for the OKs and cancel unless you actually click into the menu. So,
are you thinking then, Sue, that maybe it's time to learn an actual screen reader, like specific screen reader, like JAWS or something, or even Narrator?
Well, I must admit, when I you can actually get Dolphin at Supernova. They will remote onto your machine, and there is a guy there that's totally blind. And when he was checking settings for me as well, he... There was a narrator going. There were two voices, because I always have the male voice on, so I know which is which. And I kept hearing this lady's voice in the background, and it was going tick, untick, tick, untick. And I said afterwards, what was that other voice? And he says, it's narrator, because I'm totally blind. And I had no idea, because this guy, Adj, he used to deal with me when I was working. I was always ringing him up if anything went wrong, and I'd no idea. He was so brilliant with it. And he was obviously using the narrator alongside Supernova.
we were briefly talking before we went on air, and I mean, Supernova is definitely a full screen reader combined with a full magnification package. But at the same time, screen readers are all slightly different in how they do things, and they all have strengths and weaknesses. And I suggested to you that, you know, if you ever find yourself thinking, oh, you know, the speech isn't giving me what I need at this point, it would be a really interesting exercise to do that hotkey for narrator, control, Windows, enter. And just like you explained just then, okay, they'll both be talking at the same time, but hopefully you'll be able to tell, unless you want to do the keystroke that quiets your Supernova speech, and see if narrator does a better job. Because whilst narrator isn't, you know, as good a screen reader when it comes to, you know, productivity, it hasn't got a scripting language, that sort of thing, in the day-to-day stuff about reading, the drop-down menus, the ribbons, the dialogue boxes, the spell checker in Office apps, it's just as good as Jaws and narrator.
But what about Supernova itself? Because if you're saying, and this is my understanding, that it was in essence, and I don't want to say it's the same as Zoom Text because that's probably being unfair, but there are clearly similarities between the products. Both are magnifiers, both have speech. I guess my question is, Sue, could you get to a point where Supernova actually does what you need? Maybe it's just that maybe you need to lean in more to the speech side of it because you've focused so much on using the mouse. Maybe it's a case of learning how to do it with the keyboard. Would that help? Maybe, well, I don't know. I'm just wondering if it's... Because what I'm thinking is, I guess, you already know Supernova. So it would be easier for you to stick with that rather than move to something new.
That's what I'm wanting to do, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Mark pointed out to me that there is actually the third upgrade, which is actually the magnification, voice and screen reader. And I've got the I think it's 2019 version. No, I think it will be 2020, I think maybe I got. Because it was February 2020 when I got my Windows 10 machine. And I'd always only had the voice and the magnification. Now, I must admit, I wasn't aware of that. And in some ways, I wish the gentleman I'd spoken to at Dolphin had actually said, oh, we do one with the screen reader as well. Because I just assumed anything with a voice was a full screen reader.
Unless I'm out of date, I think Supernova is the full banana, a bit like, you know, the Freedom Scientific or Vespero, as they are now, offer that combined product of Zoom Text plus Jaws merged together to make Fusion.
Sue's absolutely right on this one. Sue's right. I just checked the website and you're absolutely right. So you've got the magnifier option. So that's standalone magnifier. You've got magnifier and speech. And I'm with you, Sue. I would have thought that would mean screen reader.
I'm the middle. Well, yes.
No, and then, that's the rebranded...
But now you've got this third option, which is magnifier and screen reader. So, I mean, it is clear, I guess, there, but it's like everything else, isn't it? You have to know this stuff.
Huh. Yeah, okay. This is it. And I think it was daunting, the fact of going on to Windows 10 as well. So, as I say, I do know some keystrokes, and I must admit I have been a bit lazy about that maybe, and that Mark taught me some. And he said you'd probably get into the stage where you ought to start learning a few more. So I ought to type them out and find, you know, because the way that when he goes onto all the menus and can go down them, and it's absolutely brilliant. So I do a mixture of the two, really. I do some keystrokes, but I mainly use my mouse. And it depends on what time of day I'm working on my computer screen, because it depends where the sun's coming in, if it's during the day. If it goes onto my screen at all, it leaches out the colours. And so on a dull day, I tend to see my computer better. But
There are so many keystrokes that you're going to have to make friends with, I'm afraid.
Yes. and then I complicate things because I also, when David Quarmby at KVIN, he taught me to use my iPhone. I then got myself an Apple keyboard. So, of course, the keystrokes are different there. And the different commands with the Windows key is some, you know, it's all called different things now, isn't it? The command and something else. And So there's different keystrokes for that. So I sort of was a bit loath to use that in case I forgot all about the things on in Windows as well. But that's well, something I ought to go back.
This is such an important point you bring up, because we've had emails into the show, emails Andy, as we call him here, emails Andy has read these out so many times, from people asking the question, you know, I'm on the screen reader, do I want to make the move? You know, should I make the move to Mac? Should I stay with PC? Should I try a different screen reader on that PC? It's a really difficult question because it depends, I guess, on ultimately what you want to do, right? So if you're wanting to do the same things you're doing today, Sue, and maybe a little bit more or maybe something else, then, you know, ideally you want to be sticking with what you've got, right? But just using it in a better way. The challenge is, let's be absolutely frank here, because I think it's fair to say all of us have gone through this. And I'm talking here about myself and Robin and Tim. Have all gone through this experience as well. It's making that leap to not using the screen. And if you've got some vision left, Tim, you know all about this. You've talked about this on the show before. Yes. That experience, I mean, talk us through your experience of this again, because I think it's really interesting to hear. You know, that experience of, you know, letting go of the screen.
Yeah, you talk about the ultimate you're not alone story when it comes to losing vision. Yeah, as I've talked about before, when I was losing my vision starting as a teenager and into my 20s, my right eye went first. Over the next 10 years after that, up to about 30 years old, my left eye caught up for the most part. And just when I had gotten a really great job working at the government and had been familiar with using Zoom text with a little bit of speech, I was getting to the point where it just wasn't enough, like Sue's describing. I was to a point where the magnification was so large, some longer words, I could maybe only get half the word on the screen at a time. Yeah. And that was using a very large monitor. And so it became evident to me that I wasn't going to be very productive, especially in a job, you know, a work environment. You know, if it was for home use, okay, so my eyes would just get really tired much more quickly. But in an office environment, at a job where you need to be productive and you need to, you know, be at a certain speed or a certain level, you know, half a word to a word on the screen at once is not going to cut it. And so I had to make that very daunting, very personal and hard decision to go ahead and just go full on speech. And as I've, as I've talked about before, the trainer came out and said, all right, turn off the monitor, set aside the mouse, let's go. Keyboard only. And I'm like, you want to do what? Okay. You know, because I still had some functional-ish sort of kind of vision. And so it is very daunting, but it's a very personal decision that you have to make. And not everybody's going to make that decision at the same point in their vision loss or in their life, their career, their personal life, whatever it may be. So yeah, it is very, you know, like I said, a very big decision, but it sounds like very similar to Zoom text and JAWS, Sue, that you've got options. I mean, you can use some speech now as you do, but as you get more comfortable and maybe want to learn more keystrokes, you could go into the full-on Supernova experience and use a screen reader, you know, more enhanced or advanced screen reader. My question is, after, you know, listening to some of your experiences, I'm wondering, and maybe you haven't done a lot of this because you said you haven't used the full-on screen reader as much yet, but you talked earlier about settings and having, you know, having your settings redone after a Windows update or anything like that. How customizable is Supernova? Because I know obviously with JAWS, you can customize almost everything under the sun. You know, narrator, you can do a little bit. NVDA, you can do quite a bit. What sorts of things can you set, change, and you know, personalize with Supernova if you've had that experience?
Well, it's the colours and things like the mouse pointers. But most of the time, I've tended not to use the colours because I've tended to rely on the in the control panel of actually Windows. We went for the Windows colours. It gives you the options to use window colours. So we've set up my own colour scheme within Windows itself. But as I say, I've found that it's still, if you use it just with the colours without using the magnification of Supernova and just using the voice, it's with Windows 10, it's still not as bright, although it's on a high contrast. I mean, one of the things I always worked on was a black screen and white writing, because I find that the white font is a lot thicker. But it's things like you don't see the bold as easily if you just use the normal high contrast colours in Windows. But if you click on, say, 1.5 on Supernova, the colours really do show bright again and there's more definition. So I often do that now because I'm not using, well, I'm not doing detailed sort of display work like I used to do when I was sort of a secretary and I was doing witness statements and stuff like that.
I think that's a really great example, Sue, of your personal situation, because people who have lost vision over time are well aware exactly what you're talking about of, you know, am I going to use black on white, white on black, yellow on black, or, you know, whatever color scheme or different, you know, different settings are going to work for you. And you talked about magnification and how much you've had to magnify. So, you know, like Stephen was talking about, there is that point where it's okay, the colors aren't enough, you know, the contrast isn't enough, the magnification might be slowing me down. And, you know, there comes a time where even just a little speech isn't enough. And like you were talking about when they, you know, they remote into your computer, all the shortcuts that they're using, the keyboard shortcuts and all the different little things that they do that can be done so quickly with a full-on screen reader, that is maybe a personal decision that you know, you may have to face.
Here's the thing. I wonder, though, because this is a thing that I had to learn by going through the journey of this. I didn't realize how much more efficient I could be through just take email, for example. Mm-hmm. I was so much quicker at email or with a screen reader and turning that screen off. And I never thought that would be possible. I always thought I was pretty swift with my inbox, but I clearly wasn't. And I could get through them so much quicker. And again, I mean, look, this isn't conversion therapy, right? We're not trying to make you turn into a screen reader user, but I think you're clearly thinking yourself about this. You're in that state at the moment, Sue, where you're thinking, maybe I should make this move because it just takes the pressure off my remaining vision. And that's
Well, I do
important.
Use the voice all the time, Steve. I mean, when I my computer, the minute I turn it on, it loads Supernova and I have the voice on all the time. So I do, I will sort of visually sort of see the little red line going down that highlights my emails. But when I see them open up, I can see it flash white and then
here's the question.
My colours and then it reads. It reads, yes, I have it. It reads, I've been doing that for ages. It reads all my emails and that's what made it so much easier at work. I mean, say when you're off on holiday when I used to work and used to have the out of office assistant on, I used to dread before I had Supernova being able to go through all my emails, and it was so much easier to be able to have them, you know, I could instantly find out which were things that I didn't need to read anymore, that I could just quickly delete.
Here's my question to you on that though, Sue, because this was the other problem. If you're, and maybe you don't do this, I'm wondering, because I've had this experience myself, when you're still looking at the screen, I feel you have the natural desire to look to see what you're listening to the extent that sometimes I don't even hear sometimes what the screen reader was saying because I wasn't really listening to it. I was trying to almost marry up the words, obviously reading subtitles in a sense. I was hearing the words, but I was, you know, following along with the words on screen. And I think that's sometimes where you have to make the break. If you want to move into the screen reader, you kind of have to make the break there, I think, don't you?
Yes, and of course, then there's always the things like I know I'm not reading it properly by sort of sight, but sometimes it's reassuring to be able to knock the magnification on and to sort of check certain things have been spelt properly, because sometimes a good feature that I use a lot is. For spelling things, I shall go sort of character by character going back and I can actually, it'll read each word for me, each character for me, each letter, so I can tell if I've missed things out. But I must admit, I hardly, I do use the the spell checker, but as I say, since the Windows 10, I don't find that as easy. I find it very hard visually to do it now.
For me, the hallmark of a great screen reader is that it gives you a lot of support with something like spell checking. So you've got a document or an email that you're just about to send off. The spell checker comes up. Visually, I'm sure it looks a huge jumble of stuff. You know, there's an awful lot in there. But that it will give you the information. And it's not always read by default, but there are those keystrokes, there's four or five associated with the spell checker in Office apps, for example, that will give you the information that you need. You can spell the current word, you can read the options, you can hear the word in context in the sentence that it's in, et cetera, et cetera. So things like that may or may not be spoken satisfactorily without you having to kind of drive it a bit yourself. But I totally remember that, you know, there was a gap of about 5 or 6 years where I was reluctant to let go of the speech. But as soon as I did, there was another sort of period of a good few years where I always had the magnification available at a hotkey. So instantaneously, I could bring it up if I wanted to use what vision I had to, you know, look at something, want to reassure myself, whatever it is. But
you know, that was gone
by default. It was not there by default because I was completely of the opinion that it was holding me back.
I think you both bring up interesting points, though, because, you know, what you're both saying is essentially it's important to have a bit of reassurance. So if you have got some vision, and I did it as well. I mean, I used to do it a lot where I would have the screen on. So here's my situation. I use a PC now completely without a screen, right? I don't touch the screen. I don't have the screen. I don't have a screen that I can connect mine to. My laptop is under my desk. It's in a dock. It's out of the way and there's no screen attached to it. My Mac, however, I can't really see what's going on the screen, but I kind of like to know what is going on or that something is happening. So I do find it detrimental again at times because sometimes I'm sort of so busy trying to focus on something visually, I'm not really taking in audibly what's going on, whereas I do on the PC. So I think there's a lesson there. But I think that the point is it's sometimes nice just to have that bit of reassurance to know that when I've done the command tab or the alt tab or whatever it is, that something's happened. I guess that's where you're coming from with this, Sue.
Yes. I mean, like it's, I love my iPhone 7 using VoiceOver and I've been taught so well that I can literally just sit on the settee and not even look at it, and I can move my finger across and I can do all the speech and with that. But you know, that's brilliant. But there's silly little things like when you're using the dictate, sometimes like it'll say instead of sight, S-I-G-H-T, you know, S-I-G-H-T, it'll say S-I-T-E. So I'm sort of, I will go back, you know, with the road to words until I find sight, and then I'll turn it on to characters and I'll go back and make sure it's put the right spelling of eyesight, not a sight. I suppose that's the legal secretary in me wanting to have everything.
You're a power
perfect,
user.
And you're a professional, you know, you want to do it right. Absolutely.
It's listen, your pride as well.
Exactly.
Know,
found, yeah.
Yes. And when I always wanted to keep my job, knowing I could always do the job, and if I felt eventually my eyesight was getting to the stage where I couldn't do the job properly, then I would have left. As it was, I got made redundant. I think it was a head count thing. But I'd eventually, as my boss retired and other people moved on, I then ended up, they had to put me on what we called the float team, which in effect meant that I worked for everybody doing audio typing within, it was a big international firm. And we used to use this audio called Big Hand, that all the letters and things came in, they looked like there were files and you clicked on them and it brought up the player onto your screen, and then you still had your foot pedal and your earphones.
Oh, I know you're talking.
And it meant that I could then pick work up from South Africa, where we sent out our most of our audio typing to. And that was very annoying at first because the company exigent, because it was part of the contract that things had to be proofread before they could go to the lawyer. And I hated that. I thought after, you know, sort of 40 years working that I had to have it checked like a naughty schoolgirl or something. Mm. But I realised that it was in the contract. But eventually what happened was that they were quite happy for me to send things straight on to the lawyer as long as I sent them a copy. So they knew that it had gone. But then it was great because I then also managed to get work from the UK offices. If there was anything that was confidential that didn't want to send over to South Africa, I'd get to do it, which was good. But I used to love doing all these statements, employment tribunal statements, and I always used to want the next episode, basically.
I can understand that. Yeah,
I think a book or something.
Yeah. Yeah, really good. But it's real life, even better. Sue, it's been great having you on. Thank you so much. Kirklees Visual Impairment Network is where Sue volunteers at and is part of. So, you know, we're really glad to have you on from there.
I'm not actually a volunteer. I'm a user, but I'm a service user, but I do actually also help out now and again. I'm quite happy to help other people, but I'm officially not a volunteer. But
okay. Unofficially, but does help out occasionally. Okay. Yeah. But no, listen, thank you so much for coming on, Sue. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And we've got to get you back on because there's so much more we can talk about. I'm sure people will have many questions regarding Supernova. So I can imagine the emails inbox filling up with questions about that. So, Sue, do come back soon. Sue Dunn, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Tech Talk, and we are going to switch now to our Technology for Life team, who are with us this week to tell us all about a fantastic app called What Three Words. Here's Hannah.
Hi there. I'm Hannah from the Technology for Life team. And today I'm going to talk about the app What Three Words. Thank you to Peter for getting in touch with us and asking for this app to be covered. What Three Words is a free app for Apple and Android that identifies precise locations. Every 3 meter square of planet Earth has been given a unique combination of three words. This is called a What Three Words address. If you are lost, you can find your What Three Words address in the app to give to others to find you. Or you could use the app to find a location's What Three Words address to plan an exact meetup location with friends. I'm using an iPhone with VoiceOver, and when I first open the app after downloading from the App Store, I am asked to choose a language.
What Three Words? Select your language. Heading.
I'm going to flick to the right to go through all the languages to find the one that I want.
Afrikaans, comma, Amher,
Al Arabiya,
Bahasa Indonesia, Bahasa Malaysia, comma,
Bulgarskie, Chilibun,
C, Dansk, Netherlands, English Australia, English Canada, English India, English UK, English UK.
Okay, so I found the language that I want. As you can hear, the app supports quite a few different ones. And now I'm going to double tap. You are then shown an introduction to the app. There are four pages to this introduction, and there is a skip button if you would like, but I'm going to take you through the pages just by flicking to the right and double tapping on the next button.
What Three Words? Illustration of a sports stadium with several pins pointing at unknown locations surrounding it. Skip button. Page 1 of 4. Adjustable. Street addresses don't always point to precise locations. Next button. The same sports stadium is shown, but the unknown points are now shown as three word addresses. For example, one entrance is / trail, feast, beam, and the far entrance is / hails, fled, snack. Skip button. Page 2 of 4. What Three Words has given every 3 meters square in the world a unique three word address. Next button. Illustration of a lady leaving a car and arriving at the entrance to a building with the precise location marked as / mime, petty, hook. Skip button. Page 3 of 4. The words are randomly assigned to each square and will always stay the same. Next button. Illustration of two people sat on a hillside with their location marked as / gathering, profile, shower. Skip button. Page 4 of 4. Adjustable. Now it's easy to find and share any location with just three words. Next. Button.
You will then be asked if you would like to allow notifications, so you can either choose to allow or to not allow. The app will then give you your what three words address, a map of your current location, and if you flick to the right, you will find a next button. If you double tap on this next button, you will automatically be put into the search box to search for a location.
Next button. Next. Navigate. Tap the search box to find your three-word address. Search. Search field.
Okay, so I'm now in the search box, and I'm going to search for RNIB Cymru. I am the Technology for Life coordinator for Wales, so I'm going to find out what our what three-words address is. This is an active search box, so as you type, it displays the results underneath. And it's displayed mine in a nice list. So I have typed in RNIB Cymru, and the first one on the list.
RNIB Cymru, Womanby Street, Cardiff, CF10, Wales, button.
That's it. That's our address in Cardiff. So if I double tap.
RNIB Cymru, Christchurch, three-word address soft, carbon, soil, button.
So our what three-words address is soft, carbon, soil. So that is where VoiceOver's focus is at the top of the screen. So if I flick to the right, you can hear all the different options on the page.
Scan a three-word address. Button. Voice search for a three-word address. Show my estimated three-word address based on my GPS. Button. Map type. Switch to satellite view. Button. Share this address. Button. Navigate to this address. Button.
Okay, so displayed in the middle of the screen is a map. So you heard there it said you could switch to a different view if you wanted, to a satellite view. And there were also two options at the bottom. So there was an option to share. So you can share that in the usual ways by email or WhatsApp or message. And there was also an option to navigate to this address. So if you chose that option, it would then bring up directions using Google Maps or Apple Maps or the app of your choice. You may have noticed that one of the options that we just flicked through said,
show my estimated three-word address based on my GPS button.
If you were to double tap on that, it would give you your three-word address for where you are at that particular time. The search box is always located at the top of the page, so you can go back to that box at any time to search for a different location, or if you have the three words from maybe friends who are meeting up or from a particular location you want to get to, you can type those three words into the box and then head down to the navigate button to make your way to that location. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy using this app. If you would like to get in contact with RNIB's Technology for Life team, you can call us on 03 03 123 9999 or email tfl@rnib.org.uk.
Thanks, Hannah. And we'll get more, of course, from the Technology for Life team soon here on Tech Talk. But right now, let's get to those emails. Yes.
Email. We get email.
We get the email every day. Every day.
Here's your mail today.
Everyone's obsessed with this Bing Bong thing. I just don't get it. Right. Emails, Andy.
Hi.
Have we got anything in the inbox? Because last
week, we do.
Yeah, because last week we had none. We completed the inbox. We emptied out.
Zero emails.
Okay, well, let's get money's worth out of this jingle first, and then we'll get right into it. Okay, so what's the first email?
Under the heading of accessible products sold by the RNIB online shop. Hi, says Tina. I always enjoy Tech Talk and the banter between yourselves as presenters. Your program is really informative and interesting. Well, thank you, Tina.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
I listened with interest to the review of the RNIB Digital Radio. This product, like so many nowadays, is not suitable for totally blind people, although it does have talking menus. It doesn't have the ability to scan and read the radio stations you are selecting, and you need some useful vision to set reminders. And I also purchased a fully talking telephone in 2013. I believe manufactured by G-Mark, sold by the RNIB. All of its menus were fully accessible, including an address book. There are not enough fully accessible products for blind people providing talking menus and functions. I feel that blind people are being continually marginalized and that there are too many products for people who have low vision. On a positive note, I may congratulate the RNIB on the In Your Pocket, which is fully accessible. I enjoy listening to many newspapers, magazines, and podcasts. The new Samsung handset, has excellent speech recognition. I would be grateful if you could investigate this matter and persuade the designers of the equipment to consider the accessibility of products for people who have no sight at all. Kind regards. That's from Tina.
Thank you, Tina. Yeah, all good points there, I think. And an odd two in your pocket as well, another device you can get from the RNIB shop. Thank you for that, Tina. Okay, let's get another email.
Hi, guys. I was listening to your discussion of the new DAB radio from the RNIB. I, too, was confused why its channels weren't spoken. I was reminded of my first DAB radio, the Pure Sonos 1. It was brilliant. It was a mainstream accessible radio, and when you turned its dial, it announced the stations. The presets also spoke to you as well. If you touched its handle, it told you the time. It was a marvel. When Amazon came along, it superseded it. I'm guessing referring to the Echoes and the dots there. It's strange that they could have built the technology into a radio 10 or so years ago, but can't do it now. Strange. That's an email from Steph.
And the downside, of course, to that radio was that when the radio station changed, as they often do on DAB, the update didn't go with it. So you'd have a station that was maybe called, I don't know, 1, and it was actually 2. Other radio stations are available. But, that was a problem, right? Because you'd have stations that didn't mean anything anymore, and that was a problem. So the technology was there to do it, but it was actually in a worse position because very quickly it became out of date. So it wasn't ideal.
I mean, the technology to have, you know, a fully talking device has been around for a long, long time. It's just that with the RNIB radio that we're talking about here, it's one thing to have a bunch of preset recorded voices or items, i.e. the menus, and another to have a full speech synthesizer that can read text that it gets sent, which would be the names of the channels, which will change and that won't get updated necessarily, and that, you know, new ones will spring up in between other two. So yeah, you'd have to have a full speech synthesizer that was translating text on the fly as opposed to a bunch of recorded phrases. So we haven't got that with this RNIB one, unfortunately. So yeah, no talking stations.
No, not at the moment anyway. Okay, let's get another email.
This one came in with the title, Giving Emails Andy More Emails to Read, which I'm very grateful for.
That's nice.
Hi, everyone.
Just going to tell us some jokes, isn't
it? Hi, everyone at Tech Talk.
One email at a time.
Yeah.
Yes. Could you ask Stephen to use his influence and connection to Microsoft for ensuring that for Virtual Ribbon is made easier when using Narrator? I feel with his connections, maybe Microsoft will add scripting in Narrator to compete with the likes of JAWS and NVDA for home users, as I find the rhythm method in any Office packages extremely daunting. And I do miss the old days when drop-down menus was in fashion, I wish today for the modern user to Windows. Keep up the good work, as I always enjoy listening to the podcast all of the time. Thanks. That's from Shazad in Birmingham.
Thanks, Shazad. I'm just checking out my connections. I've got a USB cable here. I might have a lightning port one.
Make it so, Stephen.
Well, you know, it is one of those things, isn't it? I mean, I will certainly pass this on to the powers that be. I'll speak to Satya Nadella. We're big friends. Huge fan of the show is Satya. That, by the way, is not to be confirmed. And, it's one of those, I think, you know, with JAWS, interestingly, we were talking about this, I think, a couple of weeks ago, Robin. Mm-hmm. Well, you'd brought this up about the JAWS feature where you can use the ribbon. JAWS ribbon, yeah.
I mean,
but it's not a Narrator yet.
Freedom Scientific have got a lot of sway with Microsoft, and their feedback has been very strong to them since the ribbon came out, which is that it's a disaster for disabled people. Well, for people with who are screen reader users, please write in and say if you love using the ribbon with your screen reader. And
Robin, I interviewed Jenny LaFleury, the chief accessibility officer at Microsoft, and I said to her in a shocking statement, "What on earth are you doing with this virtual ribbon nonsense? When is that going to end?" And she didn't answer that question. She laughed it off. But I think it's a question that clearly she knows people are asking. I've asked it to her directly. And there's a bit, I mean, obviously this isn't designed by the accessibility team. It's designed by the people who build the Office products. But it is something I think they've got to look at.
Yeah, in theory, but lots
of things are accessible, but usable?
In the end, Freedom Scientific or Vispero, as they are now, had to kind of patch their own one.
And that's the problem, isn't it? Narita's not going to do that. You're not going to get a different version because it's under the Microsoft product. I think there's a better way they could do the ribbon, surely.
Maybe what they could do is search box.
No. You know what you could do? You could use the bar at the top. You could have a bar at the top of the screen, right? And it could have drop-down menus in it. This is a great idea. You could have drop-down menus coming down from the top, and they could have things like file and edit, and things in there.
The weird thing is, Office on the Mac, all of the Office applications have the virtual ribbon, the ribbon.
Are you saying my idea has been done?
They also have standard drop-down ribbons, standard drop-down menus. They're still there, and that's because Apple requires them.
That's the strength of Office on the Mac, but then, of course, you've also got the problem of Office on the Mac, which is not as much fun.
If Apple can make them do it, then they maybe should, do it for us. Do it for the team on Windows, please, because we desperately need those drop-down menus back.
Shazad, I'll do my best. I'll give Jenny a call again and say, hey, come on, Jenny, what's going on here? And we'll see what happens. And I'll never hear from them again. Right, let's get another email.
Okay, so this next one is from Nadia, who's having tech problems. Hi, guys. Following your plea for emails, I thought I would oblige. I have two unrelated problems that I could do with some advice on. Let's see how many we get to in this week's show. First, my Amazon Echo. She seems to have suddenly become discerning about who she chooses to call. She now refuses to take my mum's mobile, telling me that the number can't be reached. And if I try to call my dad, she asks, do I want his phone or his Echo? And if I say phone, she says, sorry, I don't know that one, even though he's in my contacts. She refuses to call Sight and Sound, the provider of Jaws in the UK, but she will call Synaptic. It's just bizarre. And there's no obvious pattern to it either. I did wonder if that was because I'd changed mobile providers recently and I had to change back almost at once because of phone signal problems. Do I need to disable communications and then enable it again, or is there another reason for this? So let's tackle that problem first.
I'm suggesting Robin can answer this one.
Yes. Well, I don't know if this is actually the case, but if you've got two people in your house who you've taught the A-Lady your own voice, which you can do, you can say, learn my voice, and then you can, she'll say, say a few things, and then she'll call you by name thereafter. I've done it, Judith's done it, so that we can get our own playlists, et cetera, but it messes up calling, basically. If Judith now wants to call anyone from all the Echoes in the house, she needs to put the app on her phone and create a different Amazon account and create a family, make it part of the family.
Wow.
And then she uses her contacts on her phone for separate calling. So it might be that, because we fell foul of that quite recently.
But it's not that, though, because that sounds quite involved. Would it maybe be...
Well...
Could it be the change in provider? Because this comes back to the central point. How does it get... I still don't understand how it gets the ability to call, because I've never done anything. I haven't linked anything. Other than putting the app on my phone, I haven't done anything that would, I would imagine, allow it to use my phone to make calls, because it doesn't use my phone.
No, but it's accessed your contacts, and that was something you gave permission for when you installed the app.
Did I? I don't need these things.
Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with your phone provider.
There are cell phone providers or
telecom providers that you can connect to your Amazon Echoes. However, You don't have to, but there are some that'll give you certain deals or certain rates or whatever. We have that here in the States with AT&T. Mm-hmm. You can connect it to your Echo devices, but you don't have to. And like, for instance, in our house, we do the same thing you're talking about, Robin, where I have a profile of my own. My wife has a profile. We actually now have a kid's profile for our daughter on a separate Echo, and so that she can talk to it and ask it to do things and special kids games and kids in it, or kids interactivity and things like that. However, it usually does know who we are. Now, maybe that's because we have trained it with our different profiles and it knows our voices. So no matter who's talking to it, it knows who we are. I don't know if that's just because we've done our individual profiles or also because we've trained it, but it does look at our individual contacts and looks to see who we've synced to it to know, you know, who has a phone versus who has just only an Echo or both. So, yeah, I don't know why it wouldn't be properly looking in those contacts, unless the contacts aren't synced up properly or there's something wrong with the way the contacts are being understood by the Echo itself. I would check the contacts within the app mm-hmm. just to make sure that the people are actually there and that the phone numbers are properly there, their Echo devices are properly
in
there.
The Lady A app, yeah?
In the Lady A app, yes.
Right, okay.
Even then, that's just for the primary voice. So if a second Correct. Person has taught the Echoes
no one else has done that, Robin. Apart from you and Tim, no one else has done this. I couldn't be
bothered.
It might
have been done
that.
By accident. You never know.
No, never happened. Okay, look, we're out of time, unfortunately. So, who gave us that? That email?
That was Nadia's.
Nadia's email. Yeah. Well, look, Nadia, I know you've got more in that email, so we'll get to that next week. We will leave that on a EastEnders moment, as I like to call it, and we'll come back with more of your emails next week. Do keep them coming. It does keep Andy in a job. Bear in mind, we will have to let him go if there are no emails in the inbox, and that's a shame. That's a shame that you would do that, Tim. We're so cruel around here, aren't we? But yeah, Andy sitting there
thinking,
gonna
think
how will
serious.
I feed myself?
When we got to zero last week, his future was hanging by a thread.
I was. Yeah.
Stop. And look, if you're nervous about that, Andy, don't worry. We are only kidding. Or are we? That's the cliffhanger.
Reading,
tune in next week to find out.
I'm going to have to start reading emails out on other RNIB Connect radio shows.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you have to sell yourself out to the other shows. Look, thank you again. Many thanks to Sue Dunn for coming on. She was brilliant. And yes. we want to get Sue back on soon to talk more about Supernova. If you've got any questions, get in touch. And you know, if you want to give advice to Sue about using the screen reader side of Supernova, that would be really interesting. Robin, Tim, Andy, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.